September 11th, 2009, the Norris Group returns with its award-winning event, I Survived Real Estate 2009. For this critical final quarter, the Norris Group has assembled a gold panel of accomplished industry specialists to discuss the impact of seismic economic shifts, head-scratching regulations, challenging legislation, and the accelerated pace of opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds for this unique event support the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for The Cure. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshop and President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronskiest, Invest Club for Women and Director Iris Veneration, Fry Wiles, the creative agency responsible for iSurvive2009.com, J.K. Short Sales and Kathy Van Sleen, Entrust California and Hugh Bromaugh, the Nixon Library, MVT Productions, who always provide the audio-visual needs, the Business Press, airing the event live over the Internet, and White House Catering, who will provide the three-course meal for this black tie event. Visit iSurvive2009.com for more details.
Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today our guest is John Young. He is the founding partner of Young Homes, founded in Rancho Cucamonga. He's been an active participant in this highly successful Southern California home building company for nearly 20 years, and he's been associated with the real estate business for about 30. John, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Bruce.
20 years ago, that would have been around 1989-90, which would have been right at the cusp of a peak and then a change in the market. How would you contrast 1990 to what we're experiencing right now, the 90s compared to right now?
Yeah, and actually, I got in the business in 1977.
Okay,
but, so you get a little more cycles to go through. But to answer your question, it's a tougher cycle this time, much tougher than it was in the early 90s.
Back in the 80s, we had interest rates that were 17% or maybe even worse than maybe 81, 82.
That's correct.
And this is even a more difficult time than that?
I think so. Bruce, I was in the mortgage business at that time, and I remember doing, if you remember, a loan called GPARM, which was a graduated payment adjustable rate mortgage, so people could buy, and it was one of the first loans with negative amortization. But the severity of the decline in value and what's happening with the United States economy is much more difficult now, I think, than in the early 80s.
What is the mood of the membership like within the industry?
Well, there's a couple of things going on. Generally, the people that are in the industry are survivors. So they want to continue to, of course, be in this business and hopefully get through this down cycle and back up to the cycle when it does return and they can start building again. Membership is down.
Well, that would make sense.
Which I would imagine it would
sure.
be. It's down, it's got to be down 50, 60%. Approximately. So that means sponsorship dollars for things that we do at our association is down. Budgets are down. Layoffs in not only in our businesses, but with our associations also.
And a lot of these businesses are family or people that have worked for a company for probably decades. Is that accurate?
Pretty accurate, Bruce. As the association is public builders and private builders.
Okay.
And so you have about a little bit of both. I'd say it's almost a 50-50 percentage of publics as compared to private builders. But for our company, Young Homes is a private company, and unfortunately, we've had to lay off people here as the market continues to decline that have been with us 10 and 15 years. So as a microcosm of what's going on, that's what's happened to Young, and that is almost a direct proportion of what's happening also with publics and privates that I talk to people when I see them at the meetings and have interface with them.
Yeah, so it's not just a financial difficult time. It's a tough time when you're laying off people that have worked with you for a long time, and I own a company, so I understand that would be just a difficult stretch of time to go through.
Yeah, it's probably for me, and I'm president here of our company, it's the most difficult thing to do, to lay off people. That not only do you hate to lose them because they have talent, but, you know, the people with families and homes to pay mortgages to and car payments to make, and people that have been around for 10, 15 years that you get to be almost like family, so it's very difficult.
What is the sentiment toward helping builders right now?
Well, I'd say it's positive, Bruce, but it's you know, there's a lot of history to builders in the last 50 years here in California, and most of the time, unfortunately, we're considered the guys with the black hats, and we're going to pave over everything, we're going to build everything out, we're going to take the money and run. But people do know when we were saying, and when I say we, an association, that, you know, this is going to affect a lot of people down the line that are in other industries. Because if you think about what real estate does, and you're in the industry, you know, title industry goes down, the escrow industry down, mortgage industry down, home builders down, and then of course, as home builders, then we create a lot of jobs when people buy our homes, landscaping, of course, and furniture, and large appliance purchases and upgrades on their home. And boy, it's like a major domino effect. It really has pulled down the economy. And if there's anything that me, in my, when I wear my hat as an association, I always kind of stress that, because, you know, for a long time, the car industry is always what the economy has revolved around to, and it's what our history goes back to. But really, the home building industry, real estate industry has a bigger effect than I think the car industry does.
I think that's absolutely true. You mentioned wearing a black hat and covering over everything with asphalt.
Right.
What is the project, the time frame for a project where you look at a piece of land and say, you know what, that would make 50 buildable lots? What is the journey and time and cost that takes to go from, I think we'll do it, to we can now build on that lot?
Well, in normal economic times, when you think you can bring product to the market and there's a market for it, in the Inland Empire, which is where I build and our company builds, and it varies all up and down the state, much more longer and time-consuming in the northern part of the state as compared to, say, to the southern part. But to give you an example, by the time we go kick the dirt and the time that we do all that thing in the subdivision and the all the paperwork that's involved in subdividing that home, that land, and finishing the lots, the infrastructure, building, selling, closing, that could be a 3 to 5 year period.
That's a pretty risky window.
Oh, yeah, it is.
That's a very long time.
Yeah, it is, because you have, of course, you buy the land and you have a great investment in that, and then you do all the entitlement work, which you have to hire consultants and you have to pay, of course, taxes and weed abatement on your property as you're going, and then you're in certain times, maybe because the economy might go through a cycle like we are today, or they change, city change requirements on you as far as zoning or things like that. You do take a lot of risk. So then when you get to the end, you of course you feel rewarded that you're at the end, and then if you sell houses and make profits, that's what you're really here for, what we're really here for, and we hope that will happen. But it is a risky business. What I always have said is that I've enjoyed the business so much that working in it, I understand there's a risk, but I just and it's hard to quantify sometimes, Bruce. But and I'm a conservative guy, but in a risky business.
That I've been told that builders are the most optimistic people in the world, and in a way, when you're trying to deal with a product that's not going to be ready for 3 to 5 years, you almost have to be, because in the mood you're at when you're buying the piece of property, I'm sure that has changed many times when you got to the finish line.
Oh, definitely, Bruce. I mean, there's a saying that the best time to in the whole process is when you buy it, and it gets worse thereafter. So there are a lot of regrets as you go along the line because of uncertainties that you just brought up.
You made mention there, you know, hopefully there's a market for it. Were a lot of builders in California caught off guard that there was not, in fact, a market for what they were coming, you know, finishing with in 2000? And when did it start, really? 2007? Was that really the year that it became obvious?
You could kind of feel it about the third quarter of 06, Bruce. I mean, you could kind of feel, we did, our traffic was, it was still good, and it's still high volume, still a lot of families running through our models and wanting to buy, but it was slowing down. Our rate of converting the traffic into sales was slowing down, and we could kind of feel it in 06, the end. But then if you remember, we had kind of a blip in the beginning of 07. we thought, well, gee, we thought it was going to go down, but it turned around and went up for 3 or 4 months. And then, you get everything going in your pipeline. You hire people. You're optimistic. You keep going. And then it started again slowing down through the rest of 07, and as you know, what 07 and 08 and 09 have looked like.
Do you typically have confidence in your warning system? I'm sure you have a team of people that are looking forward and saying, okay, this is the likely economy we're going to find over there when we get done with these lots. So did that somehow not work as well as it usually does?
Yeah, I generally, to answer your question directly, we do have confidence in our top management to analyze that and see what we're going to look at in the future. I think what caught off, and I was part of that, of course, being an owner here, and I have two other partners, we didn't understand. We thought it was going to slow down. We had stopped buying land. We had put some money away to save, and that's why we're still surviving.
Mm-hmm.
We tried not to leverage as much as possible, so not have as much bank loan on our debt on our land. And think, yeah, it's gone so well, as you know. It was so many buyers coming in, and prices were increasing every phase release. And this just can't continue. I've been through some cycles. I got into real estate in 77. So I've been through the one that happened in the early 80s and the one that happened in the early 90s, the one you referred to as far as that was Paul Volcker. I remember him being the Fed chairman, and boy, rates got up, I think, up to 18, 19, 21%.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't anticipate the magnitude. And that's what's got, I think, the whole industry kind of off guard here, and what you're hearing in the newspaper about companies going bankrupt and going to be a lot of mergers in the public part of our home building industry. So the magnitude of the decline and the duration of how fast it went in time, it caught us all off guard.
Well, I'm sure the lenders are caught off guard as well. So now what is their attitude toward working with you guys on a project that's obviously not going to pencil the way everyone thought it was? So what are they doing to assist you to get to the finish line? Or are they just saying, we'll just take back the property?
No, and it varies from company to company and person to person, of course, and your relationships you have with your banks. Most of the banks on a whole, and now there are some exceptions to this rule, of course, and you read about them and you hear them on the newspapers, and Wall Street Journal. Most banks, though, are working with their home builders. Now, it all comes back to, you know, did you sign a personal guarantee or did you have a corporate guarantee? You know, what are all the negotiations prior to getting into that banking relationship that you had with the bank as a home builder or land developer? So it all depends on the upfront negotiation and what they can do legally, meaning the bankers. But they are trying. I of course, as a human being, I wish they'd try harder and would work and stretch out interest payments or be careful about appraisals as far as margin calls, things like that. But generally, on a whole, the banks are working with us. But, you know, will that last forever? Depending on the economy, if we turn around quicker, then it's easier for everybody that has investment in real estate. Or if the market continues to slide down, is that story going to change? And I don't know.
I'm just curious because I'm not familiar with that term that you just mentioned, but I just want to explain it to the audience. Right. The margin calls. So you have a project and it gets appraised for less than the lender originally thought. They ask you to participate with more capital?
That's exactly right, Bruce.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bad timing.
Most companies today cannot do that.
Absolutely. I can imagine.
They don't have the cash, or they need to retain that cash.
Absolutely.
To continue to be in business.
Okay. That's a new one.
Yep.
That could get expensive.
Yes, that's back to this, as you've all been reading. We've all been reading about this market-to-market.
Yes.
Things that is happening. And as you know, in real estate, which since it's such a long-term investment, what you just talked about when we buy 3 or 4 or 5 years ago and bring it to the market, those kind of market-to-market rules really hurt us.
Regional builders, are they more affected than a national builder?
Yes, I think so. A couple of reasons why, probably. One is if, and it always, of course, depends on which national builder you're talking about and which segment of the market that they're in. But for example, if you had a formable public company that was spread out through the whole United States, they may have some markets that didn't get affected as far as much, say, as Florida, Arizona, Nevada, California, which are the ones that have been affected most as far as the decline in values. So some builders, public builders specifically, are going to weather this a little better. And the other thing that's happened is a lot of those public builders had access to capital better than the smaller builders, and were able to maybe have more long-term debt on their books as far as a 10-year type of instrument rather than us, a year instrument, as far as a most private builders are.
What's the mood toward financing any new projects?
There's not a mood for it.
No. As in, you can't get it?
It's not happening. You cannot get it.
Okay. Even if it made the most sense in the world?
You know, there are some exceptions, like there are exceptions to every rule, Bruce.
Okay.
For example, for us, if we've got finished lots, which we do, that means with the curbs and sewer and the water and everything's ready, all we have to do is go pull the building permit.
Right.
And, you know, you've heard this term shovel ready.
Mm-hmm.
That means people could start on it immediately. We can get financing for that.
Would they, in fact, be profitable? And I don't mean with your original lot cost, but let's just say that somebody next door to your project said, you know what, you can just have my shovel-ready lots. Is it possible to build that for a profit with virtually zero lot cost at this point?
Well, I'll give you our example. We're paying down debt, getting return of what we put into the lot, meaning, you know, all the infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
and maybe 1 or 2%.
Actually, that's great.
But we're the exception to the rule.
In this environment, I would
think. Because we had that land. We bought it in the late 90s.
Okay.
So our basis was lower.
Okay.
But we don't have many of those left, meaning as a company.
Mm-hmm.
And there are not many of those in the industry. And your underlying question was, it is very hard today to go buy land at current prices and make it pencil out where you can make a profit.
No, I'm sure.
And that's because of the competition, as you know, because you're in that industry of the short sales, foreclosures, and bank repos.
And that competition normally doesn't exist. And so this is very cyclical, only this time the competition is an enormous quantity and being discounted by a tremendous amount. So this has got to be the all-time problem.
Is the all-time problem. For example, Young Homes has built in areas for many years here. Like, for example, our offices in Rancho Cucamonga, we've built in Fontana probably a couple of thousand homes over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is the homes that we built 2 or 3 years ago are our competition today, and that's never happened.
Is there any thought of saying, okay, temporarily, maybe we should mothball the new homes construction business and deal with what might be profitable, the existing glut of inventory below cost?
It's a good idea. we've looked into it. Many other people in this business, because it's like one of those stories. You get into an industry. I have real estate in my blood almost by now. I was 21 years old when I got in the business. I would like to stay in the business, of course, in the business where it makes profit. And so our company and many of my friends have looked into that. We, because of our size, we don't have good economies of scale for that.
Correct.
And so we've tried to even pencil out saying, hey, let's go buy, you know, 20 repos and, you know, fix them up, paint them, carpet them, landscape them, and we're not set up well for that. I'd have to change my whole business model. And so there are people that do that. Maybe they started from scratch or are not the size that I am today, meaning our company size, even though we're much smaller than we were 3 or 4 years ago. So we haven't been able to figure that one out, Bruce, as a company. But I know there are a lot of people, and I run into them all the time, my friends, and cocktail talk, and people that were smaller companies than ours that were able to modify their workforce and do that. But we're not able to do that. And most larger, mid-sized private builders and public builders are not set up for that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about in the last 4.5 minutes the road back. How do we get the building industry back on its feet? The current unsold inventory of finished homes, now that's gone down considerably in the last year. Is it still excessive?
Yes, it is. Now, you're talking about repo short sales, or you're talking about the product that we build?
That you built yourself, or not you or your company, but
yes,
just in
our
general.
Yes, our industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
It's still too big.
It's almost down to zero.
Oh, that's what I thought. It's really improved a lot.
A lot, especially in California, because kind of the things that you touched on about getting financing, the builders understanding that, hey, one of the things is we have too much product here, and when you have too much product, the prices continue to go down. So, yes, as far as an industry, we're down to, we build a house, sell the house, you know, zero inventory.
Okay.
And almost throughout the whole industry. I'm sure there's few pockets that have had homes that are kind of oddball, meaning that, you know, white elephant type things that are still around, but not many anymore.
The federal tax credit of $8,000, has that been a big help?
Tremendous. You were talking about, your question earlier referred to what can we do to get this industry going again.
Right.
One, as you may remember, in March of this year, and actually the federal one was, I think, a little earlier than that, the federal one is an $8,000 credit. That's helped immensely, especially in our price range. We're in the 280 to 315, and those are FHA buyers.
Mm-hmm.
They have good FICO scores that are really home buyers, not investors, not people that are going to flip the house, but people that want to move in and have a home for their family. That federal credit has been tremendous, and the state credit was great until, as you know, recently they're out of money.
It went the way of the cash for clunkers. It ran out too quick.
Yes, went out too quick. It was much more successful than everybody thought it would be.
Now, is that a problem because the state of California has a budget problem, or were those federal funds somehow?
Two things happen. It's two separate programs. The federal one goes to December.
Right, so that's the $8,000 one.
That's correct. We still have that one.
Okay.
And so buyers are using that still, and we hope, again, you know, I'm an associate member and a trade group, and we're trying to get that extended. I'm talking about the federal one. The state one, we've been working on to get it extended, and it's not, we're still working on it. It has not been extended. It was a $10,000 credit, a little different setup and qualifications as the $8,000
federal,
right. But you could actually qualify for both.
I was wondering if the money actually came from the California, or did it somehow become a federal grant that California ended up?
No, that was California state money.
Okay, well,
franchise tax board.
Okay, well, since that could be a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, and we're lobbying tremendously to go up and say, hey, this really helped. It cleared a lot of the inventory, which it did. It's for our company and for companies like mine. We started building a little bit, not a lot, but some, so that we get the plumbers and electricians and all the
jobs.
Trades going again. So we create jobs, and we're up there still trying to have them. And we have two state bills going right now in our Congress or legislature to try to extend that program and get more money in the program. But as of now, the money has been spent. Or at least set aside and been applied for.
Yeah, we got about a minute left. The appraisal situation, how's that affected the builders?
Dire. As you know, what they're doing, they've got a whole bunch of new rules that started out, I think, in
May 1st.
May 1st, exactly, that have changed the complexion of appraisals. They're managed by management companies now. Some of them are out of the area. We're fighting this through the NHB and the CBIA to hopefully change those rules back to what they were. They're using more foreclosures and short sales as comps. So we think it's a bad procedure that they're doing and doesn't give us fair market value. So on our company, we're having to almost appeal every appraisal. So far, we've been able to show them with good proof and good comps that we should be able to get the appraisals that we sold the homes at, and we're prevailing. But it's taking a lot of effort and time.
It is. It's almost taken a life of its own.
Right.
Well, John, we really appreciate your time today. John Young, Vice President of the California Builders Industry Association, and he's going to be a participant September 11th at our I Survived Real Estate 2009. So thank you very much for taking time to talk with us today, John.
Bruce, you're very welcome.
And looking forward to September 11th with the other experts on our panel.
I'll see you there.
Okay, thanks.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2009. 1M1 Properties, Dalmay Properties, Elite Auctions, the Inland Empire Investors Forum, Las Brisas Escrow, Los Angeles Event Center, the Mortgage Equity Group, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, North San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine, San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, the REO Mentor Tony Alvarez, Westin South Coast Plaza, Women's Council of Realtors, Inland Valley Chapter. To find out more about I Survived Real Estate 2009 and how you can get involved, visit isurvived2009.com.